WILL AM are made possible in part by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, presenting Susan Marshall and Company, a performance by the Mark Morris Dance Group, and Dynamo Theater. More information is available at KrannertCenter.com. WILL programming is made possible by the Spice Box in Bevere Hall on the U of I campus, offering fine dining on Friday nights. Reservations are required. Seating times begin at 5:30 p.m. The Spice Box is staffed and managed by students in the Hospitality Management program. More information is available at 333-6520.
This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580 and online at WILL.UIUC.edu. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Today on the Afternoon Magazine, our monthly program on computers, this is a topic we take up once a month on the third Monday of the month. And today we welcome back to the program science and technology reporter for the News Gazette, Greg Klein. Greg writes two columns for the newspaper in addition to his work as a reporter on the beat, on the science and technology beat. He writes two columns about computing. They run on Mondays in the circuit section of the newspaper. Listeners, you can join us this afternoon with your questions. Join us with a telephone call in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, toll free, 800-222-9455. 800-222-9455. WILL. Greg, good to see you again.
Good to see you, Celeste.
Thanks for coming in. Well, let's talk a little bit here at the start about the Windows operating system Vista, available last month to us retail customers.
At the end of last month to regular folks instead of businesses who got it before the end of the year. And so we've been waiting 5 years for a new iteration of the Windows operating system. Now we have it, Windows Vista. It's got a number of things that might interest people. It looks a lot better. It's got lots of things to for your eyes to enjoy and that are supposed to help you in moving around the files and whatnot that you have in your computer. It's got, in theory, better security, although the nasty people who find out about these things out there are already finding a few holes in it, but those are being patched pretty quickly by Microsoft, as Microsoft goes. And it's got a system-wide search function so that, in essence, you can search anytime for anything and don't have to necessarily keep track of all those documents you put on your hard drive and pictures and that kind of thing. You can use this super search function to find things. So those are some of the highlights of it.
Mm. Now there's a big advertising campaign underway, and the statement is, "Wow." have consumers said, "Yeah, wow"?
And, I don't think that there's been a. People weren't standing in line in long lines in any way everywhere at midnight like they were, if you'll remember, way back to Windows 95, which was a major leap forward for Windows. It's just not that significant, I think, an event. It's not that much of a sea change in Windows that, say, Windows 95 was. I don't even think it's as much of a sea change as Windows XP, for that matter. You know, it's a nice improvement. If you're buying a new computer, you're going to get it, no matter what, unless you, know, special order a computer with Windows XP on it, which is you can do some places, although it's not the easiest thing in the world. If you've got a computer with Windows XP on it, Windows XP Service Pack 2, as I recall, you can upgrade. So, you know, those are the folks who might want to think about that. If you've got a computer with Windows 2000 on it, you can also upgrade. But that upgrade, unlike Windows XP, where you're just laying Vista over your existing setup, Windows 2000, you pretty much have to wipe your everything out and install it fresh and then put all your documents and favorite programs and that kind of thing back after you do that. If you've got any other version of Windows from ME on down, 98, 95, you can't upgrade, so you have to buy yourself a full box set and clean off your hard drive and install it new. If you're running Windows 98 or 95, though, you're probably working on an older computer, and you don't want to do that anyway, because one thing, one big change with Vista is the amount of system it requires to the amount of level of computer it requires to run in an effective fashion. So really, I'd say if you bought your computer outside of probably 3 years ago, it's not something you really want to think about. Worry about it next time you buy you upgrade your machine and you get it installed.
Yeah, 95, 98, your time is right around the corner, I would guess.
Probably, and even ME is getting long in the tooth, so you're probably thinking in that direction anyway.
Yeah. Would you review for us the memory requirements for running Vista?
Well, there are, you know, Microsoft stated requirements, and then there's reality. Okay. Microsoft lists an 800 megahertz processor, 512 megabytes of RAM, 15 gigabytes of free hard drive space, and a DirectX, that's Microsoft's system for handling graphics, capable graphics system as minimums, okay? Well, you could run it. You're probably not going to be able to run it very well in all its graphical glory, which takes a lot of power. So you may not get. You may find yourself running it in a stripped down visual fashion, which means you're not getting one of the big benefits, which is the wow stuff that's in there. And it'll probably run slowly in any event. So really, I think you want to think in terms of a gigahertz, a 1.5 gigahertz, a 2 gigahertz or more processor. You want to think in terms of at least a gigabyte of RAM. And if you want to put in 2 gigabytes, you're probably better off. Good thing is that RAM is not, you know, expensive like it used to be, so that's a feasible thing to do. And I really think you want a separate graphics card that has RAM of its own, 128 megabytes of RAM or 256 megabytes of RAM, because Vista will use that graphics processing power, if you have it, to offload from the main processor a lot of that pretty stuff that you see on your screen, and that just makes things run with a lot more dispatch, make you a lot more happy in the speed at which things move along and the number of things you can do at a time.
So. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Greg Klein is our guest this afternoon here on the program. This is a program we do once a month on the third Monday of the month. We talk about computers here on the Afternoon Magazine. We've got a listener waiting to talk with you, Greg, so let's go to the caller on line one. Hi.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hey, I've got Insight, and one of the things that what I'm trying to do is get firewalls and different types of protections, and unfortunately, I don't know much about computers whatsoever. Is there a site or a number of different sites that you can go to so when you take your computer in and the computer guy says, we need this, this, and this, and this, that you're actually knowing what the heck they're talking about? I'll hang up and listen. Thank you very much.
Okay.
It sounds like what the caller wants is just some basic practical advice.
101.
And yes, there are places you can find that on the web, but I'll suggest a couple of things as alternative, and those are old-fashioned books. Sorry to be old-fashioned, but
they're marvelous databases, I think.
I think for the kind of basic overview that this gentleman is looking for, The Four Dummies series of books is a good series. Don't be insulted, you know, by the Four Dummies title. It's just their shtick. I use them all the time myself. When I upgrade to a new operating system, I usually start by going through the Four Dummies version for that system. You know, there's a PCs for Dummies that just goes over the kind of basic things I think this gentleman is looking for. The second thing I would suggest, as far as books, is the Missing Manual series. I think this was it's put out by the O'Reilly or Bareilly Publishing Company, publishers of a lot of computer books. I think it was an inspired idea by them because, you know, it used to be, I remember back when I bought my first personal computer, It came with a big fat manual about 500 pages thick, very nicely wire bound so you could open it flat on your desk, and nice glossy paper with lots of really great illustrations and that kind of thing. And now when you buy a new computer and you open it up, there's nothing like that in there.
Wow.
In fact, you're lucky if you got a sheet that helps you, a quick start guide sheet that helps you anymore. Usually you'll find that stuff on the CD and in .pdf form, you know, that you read electronically, or you have to read the electronic help files in the operating system or whatever program you're using. So O'Reilly has started this series called The Missing Manual, and they do it for all kinds of things. They do it for operating systems, you know, Windows XP, The Missing Manual, or Mac OS X, The Missing Manual. And they do it for programs, Microsoft Office or iTunes. And they're usually very well explained. They take you from the basics to a little more advanced stuff that you might want to know as you go along. They're generally well written, and I might even say that in some cases they're cleverly written, unlike a lot of computer books. So those are a couple of places where I'd suggest starting. And then, you know, as I said, there are a variety of websites. And one that I like, I think, for the kind of thing that this guy is looking for is Elder Geek, okay? It's www.theeldergeek.com. As the name implies, these are folks who are doing this for older folks who maybe are just getting started in this computer racket because, you know, unlike kids who are growing up now, they didn't grow up with all this stuff. So they generally do a good job of starting from the bottom and working up
bringing
and
up
have lots of practical advice divided into many topics. When I have to answer questions in my column, I often refer to that site to find things.
Very interesting. Okay. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Our topic this afternoon, computers and you. Greg Klein is our guest. Listeners, you can join us with a telephone call. Your questions about computers are invited this afternoon. In the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL. Let's talk with a listener on our toll-free line on line 4. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
I'm calling because we recently upgraded our computer to a wireless, and now we have a Dell 1998 computer with all the accessories, and what do we do with it? We're willing to take it to Champaign if there's a place in Champaign. Can you tell me where to go and what to do with it?
Donate it or to recycle it.
Oh, is that your...
Keep it out of the garbage, I think.
Right.
Is that it?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, that's a good question. And the first thing I'd do is I'd go to Dell's website, okay?
Okay.
Because they have a recycling program and have made much of it. So that's a place to start.
Okay.
Now, there used to be a place up on North Lincoln Avenue in Urbana, and boy, it's escaping my memory at this point, that recycled computers. They didn't do monitors, but they did computers. And ma'am, if you will send me an email.
Okay.
And it's Klein, K-L-I-N-E, at news-gazette.com.
Okay.
I'll search my non-brain written memory bank.
Okay.
And find that and see if it's still there and shoot you an email back to let you know. And then I'll also put that in my column down the road here.
Okay. And your column is in the News Gazette?
News Gazette,
right, on Mondays.
On Mondays?
Right.
Okay. Will do.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Let's take another call, a listener on line one. Hi.
Hello?
Hi there.
Yes. We purchased the Vista program or the computer with the Vista when it came out. And I have a question about hard drive usage. It seems like every day we check the status of drive C, and we're losing 1, 2, 3 gigabytes a day. And I click on C to see where the files, where all these memory is being taken up, and I can't seem to find it. In XP, I was real good at checking on the kids to see how much hard disk space they're using. I don't have a clue with Vista. Any ideas where our gigabytes are being taken and how you can check to see where they're being used?
Well, you know, you still have Windows Explorer in there, and if you set the view in Windows Explorer to show you folder and file sizes...
We did that.
You did that, but you don't see where that's going.
No, because we did some images. My wife downloaded some music. We see everything that we've done so far, but every day I check status of drive C, and by 2-3 gigabytes a day, it's going down. I check program files, music downloads, just about everything that we can. We did a complete search of C, and there's no files or program files that are over a gig that I can't imagine the computer using up in a day or two.
Does it stay that way?
No, it goes down every day. We started at about 198 gigabytes. As of this morning, we were at 181, and I can't imagine that we're using that much space.
So it isn't. Do you leave your computer on all the time?
Yes.
Have you tried restarting it to see?
We tried restarting it a few times, not for that issue, but for other issues.
And did you check to see if you'd reclaimed any hard drive space in doing that?
I did a disk cleanup when I first started noticing this. It did reclaim about 3/4 of a gig. And then I did a disk cleanup again, and it's just a couple of megabytes, some temporary internet files. But I am at a loss. We have not loaded any store programs on there. We've a Wheel of Fortune game or two, which I see on the hard drive, and we're just running out of hard disk space, and I can't monitor it.
How much RAM do you have?
I get 1 gigabyte.
So you should be.
Because we have the home premium edition.
Which yeah.
It's running great. I mean, we love it. It's just I'm at a loss here.
Yeah. And two things occur to me, okay, I don't have an answer I'd swear my life to, okay, for you. But, you know, you touched on one thing, temporary files, okay, it's creating temporary files. And since, you know, you guys don't – you leave your computer on all the time, right? Those aren't getting flushed the way they really should, even if you leave your computer on all the time.
All right.
The other thing is that, it also makes what's typically called a scratch file, right? It's doing operations and using an invisible file that it creates on your hard drive to shuttle things around, you know? And again, if you're not, restarting your computer, it may be holding on to that, and even though it shouldn't be. And those would be a couple of guesses that I have.
I'll try restarting. I'll give it a cold boot.
Give it a restart and see if you reclaim any of that. And would you also send me an email about that?
Sure.
Did you get my email address?
I'll keep you informed on that. Because like I said, it's easy to check. With Vista, I'm having problems, but I will definitely...
Right, and I hadn't heard of this with Vista before, but, you know, it's new, and it's just in everybody's hands. And it may be, you know, there are times when, I'm not talking about just Microsoft, but other operating systems as well. Apple from time to time with some of its systems has had this kind of a problem where it's not flushing temporary things the way it should, right?
Okay. Okay.
So you get that stuff being held on your hard drive when really those files only should be there, you know, while they need it, and then they should be gone, right? Not taking up any space.
Right.
So sometimes when you get new iterations of operating systems, this kind of thing happens until they find a way to fix that, right? So that may be the case with Vista, although I hadn't read anything in particular about that yet. But send me an email and I will look into that, because that would be a good thing to tell people about.
Well, I appreciate your help. I will try that.
Okay. I'd try restarting. Yep.
Thank you.
Okay.
Next, we talk with a listener on line two. Hello.
Hello. Hi.
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 Go ahead.
Oh, good. Thank you.
I got you.
Couple quick questions for you. One is I had downloaded SpyBot on my old computer and what was the other one that you recommended?
Anyway,
SpyBot, thank you. And for some reason, I actually took them off because my computer had gotten so slow, I wasn't sure what was slowing it down. But even with that, I still get this little red fist that shows up, like someone's boxing me saying, sorry, you can't go there. What's that, and how do I get rid of those?
So you put on SpyBot and Adware.
Yes.
And you thought they were slowing down your computer.
Yes, I did.
So did you uninstall them?
Yes.
And how did you do that?
Oh, boy. It's been so long, I don't remember.
Did you
use... And that's the honest answer.
And red fist that you're getting that's telling you can't go there, what do you mean you can't go there?
Like if I'm trying to, for example, this is really goofy, but I have a Yahoo email address.
Uh-huh.
And if I try to go to the compose button and then, or if I go to where it says click on two, you know, so you can, the address book can show up, it will not let me get to the address book from the two, spot or from the compose. I have to go to the address book, click on the person I want, then click on compose. And to me, that's strange because I've always done click compose, and when I get done, or I'll go find the address and put the person's name in or email address, and I get this little fist saying can't do it, and it won't let me do it. Just strange. And I mean, that's one example. There have been other places that won't let me get to a certain page.
So you're seeing it in your browser, and then in your email program, which is Outlook, right? Or Outlook Express?
Well, I normally have Outlook Express, but I also have an email address, like a Yahoo email address.
Oh, and that's a web-based
right,
email.
Yeah. And yeah. I haven't had problems with the Outlook so far.
Okay, so it's just your Yahoo web-based email.
Right, and then sometimes in other pages, too, if I just like a regular web page if I go to.
Right. And then, ma'am, when you said, so you get an address... Somebody's address, you're making an email, right?
Right.
Composing
right.
a new email, and you get somebody's address. When you said it wouldn't let you go to the two, do you mean you get like more than one address and you can scroll down and pick the one you want, or?
Right. What? You know how if you get a letter, you get an email from someone,
uh-huh.
and if you want, I want to forward to someone else. So it'll say two, you know, let's say I'm saying I'm sending it to you. So I can just go to, I can click on two, it'll bring up my web, my address
Your
book.
Address book.
Yes.
But it's not doing that now.
It's not letting me do that.
Yeah.
So I have to copy and go to address book first, then click on your email address, and then just totally different. That's one example that's really, I mean, came to my mind quickly.
Yeah, you have to cut and paste from the address book then.
Yes.
And this red fist comes up, you say.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And where does that happen?
Whenever I click on that, it'll show up in the middle of the page, and it's like, sorry, it won't let me go.
So is it an error message then?
I think there's a little error message shows up, but then it disappears. And there's some couple letters and numbers on it, but it never stays long enough for me to even copy it down.
And this started when you uninstalled?
Actually, it started when I did put SpyBot and Adware on.
I've never seen behavior like that.
Oh, okay.
what web browser do you use?
Internet Explorer.
Internet Explorer? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so here are some various, what version of Internet Explorer? Probably Internet Explorer 6 or something like that?
I think so. Yeah, I think I have the pack number 6.
Yeah.
Because it is a pack number 7 out, but I haven't gotten that yet.
Yeah, there's an Internet Explorer 7.
Yeah.
So what I might do first is go and do some cleaning up in Internet Explorer, okay? So go in there and clear out your history, delete your cookies, delete temporary files, clear out your cache. You know, those are all under, if you go to tools options or internet options, you'll find buttons for all those various things. So just kind of flush it out, give it a nice cleaning, right?
Okay.
And you've restarted your computer in between. Mm-hmm. And then, you've restarted your computer and Internet Explorer, I take it, while this has been going on.
Right, right.
So just just clean it out and then shut it down and restart it and then give it a try and see if that does anything for you.
Okay.
Okay? That's the first thing I'd try.
Okay. All right.
Now, the second thing is that I would try is I would, if I were you, I'd go to www.mozilla.com, right?
Uh-huh.
And I would download and install the Firefox web browser.
Okay? Firefox?
Firefox.
Oh, Firefox.
Yeah, Firefox, one word. It's free, and you can run that and Internet Explorer just fine. I try to access the things that are giving you problems in Internet Explorer with Firefox and see what happens, okay? Now, this does a couple things for you. First, you try to clean out Internet Explorer, see if you can solve the problem there. If you solve the problem there, then you don't have to worry, right? Second, if you don't solve the problem, give Firefox a try. If Firefox works, then you've kind of narrowed the problem down, right? There's something going on with Internet Explorer.
Okay.
The third piece of advice I'd give you is, and I don't know how you can't remember, and I don't know how you uninstalled Adaware and SpyBot. And again, I have not seen this kind of behavior caused by them. In a long time using it and referring it other people to them as well. Generally when you want to remove a program, you want to do it, the first option you want to try is its own uninstall program. Most programs come with their own, either they'll either put it on the start menu or it's in the folder directory containing the program. They have a special uninstall program.
Right.
So they go through their process and they make sure that they get all those pieces out of there.
Okay.
If you get a program, and I believe that both SpyBot and Adaware, as I recall, have uninstall programs.
Mm-hmm.
If you get a program that doesn't have them, your second option, you want to try the Windows Add Remove programs function that you find on your control panel on your start menu there. If you don't use those processes, otherwise a lot of times little pieces get left that you don't want left and they cause problems, maybe even including the kind of one that you're seeing.
Okay.
So now let's say you clean out Internet Explorer and that doesn't work. You try Firefox and that doesn't work. Here's the third suggestion I have for you.
Okay.
You should download Adaware and SpyBot again, unless you've kept those installer programs around, and install them, all right?
Okay.
And then uninstall them using their uninstallers or Windows Add Remove programs if they don't have uninstallers.
Okay.
And that may if it's something where little pieces have been left and that's what's causing the problem. If you go back and install and then uninstall, using the uninstaller program. You should be able to clean that problem up.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Yeah, I'll try that. And I'm going to hang up, but if there's any time left later, I'll call you because I have another question, but we've been on for a while. So thank you.
Okay, well, thanks for being considerate that way because we do have a couple of other listeners waiting to talk with Greg Klein this afternoon. This is the Afternoon Magazine. My name is Celeste Quinn. This is a topic we take up once a month on the third Monday of the month. We call it Computers and You. This month, Greg Klein of the News Gazette is our guest. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. Those are the numbers if you'd like to talk to Greg. Next, we take a listener on line three. Good afternoon.
Howdy. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I have all kinds of problems always with software on the Internet. And one of the many problems is trying to email a picture. I select a picture, which happened to be one on eBay, and it was a nice picture. I wanted to email it to a friend of mine. And I do the right-click and select to try to email it, and I type the email message out, and I get a yellow band across the top of the screen saying this message has not been sent. There's no option on there of how to send it or anything. So then I try to go to my regular email, which is Insight in this case, and I'm not able to, even though I've saved the picture, I'm not able to put in the identification that it put on the picture and send it because it'll give me some message about file not found. And there's nothing that tells you how to do it. It's just, as far as I'm concerned, it's software that's not written for anybody to use.
Okay, so sir, what you want to do then is you're on eBay there,
yeah,
and you see a picture of something, and you want to send that picture to a friend of yours.
Yeah, but I don't want to email the whole eBay thing. I know how to do that.
Right, you just want to send a copy of that picture, right?
Yeah, and I right click on that to try to save it.
Okay. Well, So you right-click on it, and you get various options. One of those options should be Save Picture As.
Yes, I did that.
Okay. So
the only thing you put in there is to a file folder number. And so I use that when I try to, as an attachment, when I try to send it, and it'll say File Not Found.
Okay, now, so let's go through this. So you right-click on it, you go to Save As, right?
Yes.
Then a box will come up, and it'll say Save Picture, right?
Yeah, it has a line of about for information for the file, I think it is.
Well, so follow these directions then, okay? So next time you do this, go to eBay or wherever you're at, and there's a picture you want to save. Okay.
Yeah.
You put your pointer on that, your mouse pointer on that picture, and you right click. You'll get a menu, a list of options. One of those is Save As. Okay.
Yes.
Now you should get a dialog box, a box, another window. Okay. That says up in the left corner, it says Save Picture. Right.
Okay.
And then down at the bottom, there are two boxes. One of those boxes, probably by default, will say Save As Type, okay? And it'll say JPEG or .jpg.
Yeah.
That's a standard picture format, right?
Yeah.
And the right above that will be another box, File Name. Now, it'll probably put in the case I'm looking at here, it put in an 7B36-2, okay? Just put in a... It made up
a file name.
Made up its own computer file name. Well,
yeah.
you could change that to anything you want. So I'd change it to something that'll help you remember whatever that picture is. I happen to be looking at a picture of a saxophone I'm trying this out on. So, you know, I might type in saxophone.
Yeah.
Now, then you want to give it a name. Leave the file type as JPEG or .jpg or JPG, okay? And then over to the right, there's a button, Save. And that's what you're going to want to press that button to save that file to your hard drive. Okay. Now, here's my here's the last thing about that. On this computer I'm looking at, It opened up at the top now in the middle. You'll see another box, and it says Save In, okay? And that's where the location where you're going to save that picture.
Yeah, I don't think I got that.
Well, but you should get that if you follow this procedure.
Okay.
And then by default, on this computer, it happens to be set in My Pictures, right?
Yeah.
But it you know, you can put it anywhere. You could put it in My Documents. My Pictures just happens to be a convenient My Pictures, yeah. Which is in your My Documents folder, just happens to be a convenient place to put it.
Yeah.
So save it where you want to. Save it in My Pictures. Save it in My Documents. All right?
Yeah.
Now, you've saved the picture will be saved to your hard drive, wherever you told it to be saved, either in My Pictures or My Documents, wherever. And then when you make your email and you click that attachment button, and you get another box to navigate to where you put that picture, then navigate to that My Documents or My Pictures folder, wherever you stored it.
Yeah.
And you should see it there. And you can pick it and attach it to your email, and that's how you should be able to send it along.
And you just pick it by right-clicking on it, or what?
No, in that case, you've navigated to the folder, and all you'd need to do is select it. You could left-click it and select it, and then you'll press a button that you know says, yeah, I want this picture, and it'll attach to your email message.
Yeah, we'll try that. I've tried everything here.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that just remember, right-click on the picture. You get the Save Picture dialog box. Make sure you're going to put it in My Pictures or My Documents, a place where you'll know it is. Give it a name. Leave the file type as JPEG and go ahead and save it. Then when you create your email message, you're using Outlook Express, right?
Well, I was using Insight in this case.
No, I mean your email program. Is it a web-based program?
Well, it's Insight's webmail, I guess.
Yeah,
Sometimes use Outlook Express, but I have trouble going back and forth.
Well,
it'll do things with the messages on the webmail and take them out and put them in the Outlook. I've been staying away from Outlook lately.
Yeah. Well, in either way, the procedure is the same. You'll have a button on there to click to add an attachment. And when the dialog box, the box comes up to pick the attachment to add, you use the, you know, down arrows on those boxes at the bottom there to navigate to that folder where you saved the picture. Then you just left-click on that picture to highlight it, select it.
Okay, and the down arrows are on what box?
Well, when you click to add an attachment, you'll get another dialog box that will give you a chance to navigate to the folder or directory where you've got that file saved, right?
Yeah, I guess.
And
that's
usually
I haven't been able to get that, I guess.
Right, you should see it if you do it this way. And
yeah.
Usually, you know, what you'll see is you'll see one of those rectangular boxes just like in the Save Picture dialog, and out to the right of it, there'll be a downward pointing arrow. And if you click on that downward pointing arrow, it lets you navigate through your various folders on your hard drive to get to that picture.
Well, I'll see if I can do that.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
All right.
Good luck.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Next, we talk with a listener on line one. Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
There used to be a computer recycling firm on North Broadway in Urbana. It was the area near the Jolly Roger. And I think they were in the back of a store. The store occupied the front of the building, and they were at the back.
Right.
Now, I don't know if they're still there, but they took monitors, I believe, as well as computers.
Yeah, and I don't know if they're still there either, but that's another. And I've been in between questions here. I've been trying to find that other place, but haven't had any luck at this point.
The other thing was the person with the disappearing hard drive space. He didn't say how he was checking the space, but if he has a utility that an anti-deletion utility, or I think even the waste basket will save files for X number of days, it might appear that hard drive space was disappearing. And I think the way to check that is you right-click on the drive, you select the bottom option in the menu. I can't think of what the word is, but it will show you the amount of space used and the amount of space unused.
Right.
And you can then use the Windows utility that recovers space. Well, and I've seen drives that had several megabytes.
Right. And he seemed to be going through that kind of thing. And I'm not entirely certain, though. And that's good advice. And I'm glad you called and brought that up, because it just in listening to that, it gave me another thought, is that undoubtedly, he's got Vista on it. I assume it's a new computer, or that he's got a new install of Vista. Undoubtedly, System Restore is turned on. Now, automatic System Restore. So it's
right.
creating restore points on its own at various junctures. And depending on how that's set, you know, that takes up that can take up quite a bit of a hard drive. So it may be that it's creating these restore points, and that may be what is taking up that space, and it may go on until it reaches the point where System Restore has gotten to the maximum it's set for and starts to flush out those old restore points.
I hadn't thought of that, but that's very likely. I'm not familiar with Vista.
Yeah. I'm almost certain that System Restore is on by default in Vista, because that's one of the things that Microsoft has done with Vista is make all kinds of things on by default. Some of them are good to have on by default from a security perspective, and some of them, though, you might want to learn about and go back in and adjust. So.
Well, thank you. I'm enjoying
all right.
your program.
Thank you. And I have had success. The place I was thinking of is Max Twin City Recycling, and I don't know if it's still there or not. I haven't probably called them in a couple of years. And if that gentleman's still listening, it's up on North Lincoln Avenue in Urbana, and their phone was 328-2100.
Okay.
So, and they used to take computers for recycling. I said they didn't take monitors, but now I'm thinking that they may have taken monitors, but
was
they charged you a little bit to take them.
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing to do is also from time to time, a county or a group of counties will come together and, maybe with the Farm Bureau and that kind of thing, and they'll have a recycling event. There was one maybe a year ago.
Right.
In Champaign County, in Champaign, and they took stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a charge for monitors. I can't remember if it was $5 or something like that, but it was a much needed event.
Yeah, and I think they do that periodically. So if you can wait, if you can keep it in your garage.
Yeah.
You know, another thing that another suggestion I'll make is and I don't remember, she didn't really tell us much about the computer that they had, but it sounded like it wasn't that old. And PrairieNet at www.prairienet.org, if you want to look them up on the web. You know, they do a number of programs where they refurbish computers and get them into the hands of folks who just can't run out and buy one, as well as community organizations that serve folks who can't run out and buy a computer, and set up computer labs for training and that kind of thing. And they're always on the lookout generally for computers that people are turning over. It doesn't do them much good to take ancient computers, which in computer terms we might define as five or six or seven years old. If you've got a computer that's a few years old and you're getting a new one and you want to find a place for the old one, that's another place you might check.
Okay, so just put PrairieNet into your browser.
Yeah, and they have, if you'll look on their website, they have places where you can find about information about how to go about that.
Okay, very good. Let's take another call. A listener on line 2, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
Let's see. Problem with Nero 7 Ultra Pack. I've been starting to lose functions on it, where you'll click, to do a function, and it'll bring up a sub-program, and suddenly you'll get a, "I'm sorry, this does not work. Send error report to Microsoft." Say yes. Okay, I uninstalled the program entirely, reinstalled it, did no good. I ran Norton System Works to see if there was a dead link or something like that internally. Didn't seem to help. any suggestions.
All right, and how long has this been going on?
Oh, now it's been about a month and a half. So I tried going system restore points and can't get back to that far.
Can't get back that far. And had you done anything, you know, system-wise, system upgrade-wise, before you started to see this?
Just downloaded the usual patches that, you know, Windows says, you know, here's some security patches.
Right, but that
here's the months, and, you know, you download them, and I'm not sure if it was one of those that took it out or what.
Did it start to happen shortly after that, or?
It's hard to say. I don't use the program that often, and, you know, just one day it stopped working.
Well, I would think that I would think that, you know, from the kind of behavior that you described, that the most likely scenario is that you've updated your system and something's changed, okay, and so it's gotten awry with the Nero there. Now you said you had uninstalled and reinstalled Nero. Did you then when you reinstalled it? Did you then go out and check to see whether they had? Nero had any patches posted on the web that you might want to install?
They have a patch, but what they call a patch looks like it's it requires that you uninstall Nero completely and then install it, and it looks like maybe it's the enhanced Ultra version that you're getting. I don't know. I haven't tried that patch because it's... Again, it requires that I uninstall everything to begin with again, and Nero, that is, and reinstall it.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think you might be at that point. That what you want to do is uninstall it, reinstall it, and apply whatever, you know, recent patches they've had, and see if that solves the problem.
Okay.
I don't. As painful as it sounds. I don't know what else to tell you at this point, because you know,
like three or four of the subprograms have stopped responding.
But that just wouldn't happen without some other condition being introduced. Mm-hmm. You know, the program's just not going to sit there and go bad on its own. Sitting on your hard drive, it just didn't. They're not like hamburger. They in your refrigerator, they don't just go bad sitting there. So some other condition has to have been introduced, and the most likely, it could be other things.
Upgrade that you know, security patches, something like that, took it out.
That's the most likely candidate. I would think is that some upgrade or some update to the system is what has caused this. Since you know you didn't do anything to Nero. So it appears to me that it's got to be some update to the system that's the cause. Now you say subprograms, and these are pieces of Nero that install, right?
Yeah,
modules of Nero. They're not related programs outside of Nero that you bought and installed.
No, it's they have a Nero.